Let's come back to our teaching material. The outline. Yesterday we mentioned chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. The spirit of truth and spirit of error. And item number 3, the children of God and the children of Satan. If we look back into chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. From verse 1 to verse 6, yesterday we mentioned that how much the God loves us. Actually, he's talking about three things. The first is belong to him. How about the second one? God loves us in three ways. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. God loves us in three ways. What is the first? Belong to him, right? The second, to be like him. The third, to see him. Oh. And belong to him, this already happened. When do we belong to Jesus Christ? When? Baptism. When we baptism, we wash away our sin. We reconnect. So in the time of baptism, we bow down the head to die with Jesus, united with his likeness of death. Full immersion is to bury together with Jesus. And to come out of the water, we resurrected with Jesus. So that means we regain the spiritual life. At that right moment, we belong to him, become the prince of God. So in order to adjust the status from being the son of Satan to be the son of God, the price is the blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ came down to save us so that we can go up to heaven to see him. Jesus Christ become poor for us so that we can become rich in his grace. Jesus Christ was despised, suffered for us so that we can be honored and we can be blessed. So Jesus Christ has done a lot of things in a very disadvantaged way so that through his salvation we can move into positive direction in our life. And then if we look into chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. 7 to 10 is talk about the children of God and the children of Satan. Who is considered the children of Satan? From 7 to 10, who is considered the children of Satan? You cannot find it? Yeah, okay. Verse 8, anybody read aloud? Okay, he who sinned belongs to devil. So that means the status has been changed back. The father become devil, and then become the children of devil. But he who received Jesus Christ as Savior, he become the children of God. So there is a tremendous difference between these two. And chapter 4, verse 7 until 21 is talk about love and responsibility. That's what we mentioned yesterday. Paul and John moved by the Holy Spirit. So when they mention about love, they always mention the crucifixion of Jesus. So Christianity, when we talk about God's love, what's that? Crucifixion of Jesus. Oh, that is the most powerful way to express God's love, unconditional way. So if we look into John, the book of John, right? How many chapters does book of John try to describe the last week of Jesus' life? How many chapters? Start from chapter 13, right? Foot washing, because Jesus Christ knew that it's time to depart the world and return to the Father. Right? So that was the beginning of the last week. So from chapter 13 until chapter 21, how many chapters? 13 to 21, how many chapters? Nine chapters, right? Nine chapters out of 21 chapters describing the last week of Jesus, the last moment of his life. Oh, so usually if you look into a autobiography, right? The last week almost had nothing to mention. Right? Anybody read Steve Jobs' autobiography? Nobody read it? Huh? Anybody read it? Okay. How much the book describe about his last week? Huh? Not many, right? Oh, last week usually had nothing to mention. But Jesus Christ so unique. The last week spent, the Bible spent about more than one third of the content described about the last week. Why? Because the last week is moving towards crucifixion, the utmost expression of God's love. So God so loved the world. What is the next sentence? God so loved the world and filled the blank. He gave me a good job. He healed my sickness. Well, God so loved the world. What is next? He gave us his only begotten son, right? So those who believe him will not perish, but will have eternal life in the book of John. So, once again, when the Bible mentions about God's love, the key point is crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If we can understand the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we will be able to understand God's love. But the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is beyond our comprehension. Why? There are two reasons. Because that kind of suffering nobody has ever experienced. This is the first reason. The crucifixion of Jesus had gone through three different types of suffering. And these three types of suffering happened at the same time. What are the three types of suffering? Crucifixion of Jesus, called bitter cup. What's that? The first and most easy way, but still very difficult to understand, is physical suffering, right? Have you been pricked by a needle? Right? When you step on a something very sharp object, what do you do? Withdraw your feet, right? And you look into your feet and pull out the thong or a very sharp object. Can you imagine more than 100, 3 to 5 inches long, like a thong, like a crown pushed into the head of Jesus, and the blood keep on dripping? How painful it is? We don't know. How come we don't know? Because we have never experienced. Okay? The second, the two hands being pushed down on the cross, use a two big nail to penetrate the two hands. Have you experienced that? Nobody, right? Anybody have experienced surgery? Anybody have experienced surgery?
If you want to know how much Jesus suffered, next time if you want to have surgery, just ask the surgeon, don't apply anesthesia. Okay, and then you can experience how painful it is. Okay. Remember, if you want to know how Jesus suffered, in case, you have surgery, don't apply anything, just use a knife to cut it. And you know how painful it is. The third is the 2 feet collect together, another nail penetrate. And then erected on top of the mountain. You know, every time when you want to have a breath, you have to pull your body up. So you have room to breathe. It's so painful. And the back of Jesus was beaten by the whip. And the end of whip have 2 ends. And each end connect with 2 metal pieces. And when the whip catch into the skin, it's just like a plow over the field. Can you imagine? According to Roman law, it was allowed to beat up a criminal for 39 times. It's very painful. But this is only the beginning. Have you ever seen the movie called The Passion of Christ? I try to go and watch. I only feel very cruel now. Because if there is no movement of Holy Spirit, you only see a person being beaten up, you just feel very cruel. That's only the first one. The second suffering is mental suffering. He was abandoned by the disciple he loved. One of the disciples said, I don't know him, 3 times, right? Another disciple sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. For Jesus, he loved the disciple, died for them. For the disciple, Jesus Christ is only worth 30 pieces of silver. When you are betrayed by the one you love, I hope you have not that kind of, you don't need to have that kind of experience. But in case, if you have that experience, just think about Jesus Christ, right? One day, if you get married, you find out the bride or the bridegroom is not you, right? And the other party is the one you love, then you just feel the pain, right? Penetrate your heart, right? One day, you become your parents, your children say, I don't know you. When you are in advanced age, your children just abandon you. And that kind of experience sometimes will drive a person crazy, right? Drive a person into depression. So this is a mental suffering. So the most lonely person in the world is Jesus Christ because nobody understands him. Even his disciple did not understand him. The biggest suffering is he was abandoned by God. My God, my God, why do you forsake me? So all these 3 kinds of suffering come together at one time. The depth of love can only be expressed through suffering. How much you love other people? Yes, when you share something good together is love. But how deep is the love? All depends on how much you can sacrifice. Quite often I've been sent by church to Hawaii. And sometimes after the service or spiritual congregation, you walk around the seashore. You can see a lot of people go there for honeymoon, right? They enjoy the happy moment. But if you think too much, you are never happy for them, right? You think about after 5 years later, 7 years later, what is going to happen, then you will never feel happy about it. 50% of them just tear apart the wedding picture, right? Return the ring to other party. How come? Because when there is a time, suffering more than, when there is a time, fun more than suffering, that's together. But when there's a time, suffering more than pain, than fun, then why do we stay together, right? You can go your way, I go my own way. So nowadays, when people mention about love, that means enjoy happy moment together. That not necessarily means to suffer together. Oh. So if anyone who is waiting to suffer for you, for us, and that is the way to express how deep the love is. Oh. So Jesus Christ loved us so much, he gave up himself unconditionally. Oh. So no wonder Paul and John, when he mentioned about what is the love of God, the same conclusion, the crucifixion of Jesus is the love of God. If we are able to paint the picture every day inside our heart, there was a three cross erected on top of the cross. The middle one is the one who had no sin, right? And the two sides are rubber, who has sin. And I'm supposed to be the two sides beside Jesus' cross, but he went there for my sake. When you think about this, then you understand Jesus loves us is so much. Chapter 4 is talk about the love of Jesus. And then since we receive the love of Jesus, then what will be the next? Chapter 4, 19, volunteer. Chapter 4, verse 19. Anybody, read aloud. We just have dinner. Read aloud. You must have energy. Right? Chapter 4, verse 19. We love because God first loved us. The reason we love because God first loved us. Because God motivated us, so we know how to love God. We know how to love each other. Some of the people, they don't know how to love others. Do you know why? Because when in the process of growing up, they never experienced love from parents. They never feel love, been loved in a family. So that's the reason when they grow up, they don't know how to love others because they have no experience. There's no motive. There's no role model in the family to say, to show, oh, this is love. So they come out and feel nothing, don't know how to interact in a loving way with other people. So when we see a people who don't know how to love others, a lot of time, there's a very pitiful story, very pitiful, need our sympathy. Let me ask you a question. Which way is more blessed, to receive or to give? Which way is more blessed? To receive or to give, which is more blessed? If you think to give is more blessed, raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, that's a Bible verse, right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Right. Now, the society of the welfare system. Welfare system is supposed to give you some kind of safety. Once you've been laid off, you have no income, still have welfare cover you. But the welfare system, the bad part is people become lazy because they are waiting to receive. And will destroy a person, the heart of working hard. So in this society, some of the people just try to take advantage of other people's love. But when we come to the church, when we come to our spiritual life, yes, to receive is a blessing. When we are in sickness, sometimes you see the brother in a very, very ill, and everybody pray for them, right? It happened quite often, right? Even recently, we heard that one of the brothers in Cerrito Church, right? Everybody prayed for him, and miraculously, he survived. And right now, everything become normal. So to receive is a blessing, but is more blessed to give. We would rather to be healthy and pray for others, right? Instead of you sick, other people pray for you, right? Which way do you like? I would rather to have money to give instead of I have no money, everybody give to me, right? So to give is more blessed than to receive. But now the next question is, what motivates us to give? What motivates us to give? And this is the answer, chapter 4, verse 19. We love because God first loved us. Because God loves us, so we feel so much blessed. So we want to share the blessing with others. So that is the reason we love other people. The more we feel God's love, the more we can love other people. The same thing. The more we receive God's love, the more we can love God. In the 2 Corinthians, let's look into 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. Anybody read it? If we are beside ourselves, what does it mean beside ourselves? What does it mean beside ourselves? Crazy, right? If we are crazy, it's because of God. What are you talking about, right? You are sound of mind, it's because of you. How come God will make Paul become crazy, right? You know, when a person falls in love, you can see some of the story even happen in the church. He drive about 1.5 hours to have lunch together with the one he loved or she loved, and then drive back to work. It's crazy. And how come he's crazy still do that? Because of love, nothing more than that. But after getting married for a period of time, it's so difficult. Right? 30 minutes still too long. Paul loved God so much to a point he gave up everything for God. So for other people, look at Paul, it's so different from other people. When you are so different from other people consider you crazy, right? So one of the brothers always asked me, am I normal or abnormal? How do you answer? From the society point of view, you are abnormal. You don't drink, right? You don't smoke. You don't dance. You don't curse. You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't do a lot of fun which other people enjoy. From this point of view, you are abnormal. But from the spiritual perspective, you are perfectly normal. Love of God, the love of God will make you live a life which a lot of people cannot live. So a lot of people consider us as a crazy, right? So we hope more people can be touched by the love of Jesus Christ and become crazy in a spiritual way, not physical way or a mental way, right? Right now we try to recruit 2 full-time ministers. We recruit for 3 years, but we still cannot get one. We hope more people abnormal. You make a decision a lot of people cannot understand. You have so high income, you have so dream job, right?
all of a sudden say, I want to serve God, I quit. Everybody, brother, can you do it? Nobody, a lot of people smile, nobody nod your head. Right? In the next 10 years in the United States, we need at least 5 full-time ministers. Don't think our full-time minister will suffer. You look me, I never suffer. My life is very good, better than average. So far, so good. When I look ahead, I know the good days still will be coming. So don't afraid. When you become crazy for God, God will continue to love you. So don't be too normal in a worldly way. If you're too normal in the worldly way, too predictable in the worldly way, which means we are not transformed. We have been conformed. Since we have been conformed, so it's predictable. If you have been transformed, it's become unpredictable. Why? Because the love of God motivates us. The love and the responsibility. Once you love a person, you know what? That person's problem becomes your problem, right? Really? You look into a truth seeker. A truth seeker, a lot of problem. That's his problem. Yes, that's his problem, right? But one day you are filled by the love of God. You look at truth seeker. That truth seeker problem is my problem. When you have that kind of feeling, we already been filled by the love of God. You know Jesus Christ in the Mark chapter 6? He was so tired, so exhausted, so hungry. So he and his disciple tried to take a ship to the other side of the lake to take a rest, right? But as soon as the boat reached to the shore, a lot of multitude already run, marathon. Run before them and waiting for them. If you are Jesus, what are you going to do? So many people are too bothersome. Let me stay on the boat, sleep for a while. Right? Jesus did not do so. Jesus looked at them. Jesus sympathized them because they are like a sheep without shepherd. So Jesus Christ started to preach the gospel and then preach until what? Sunset. Not only that, Jesus Christ multiplied the bread for them. Not only that, Jesus prayed for them and healed their sickness. I think after that, he reached to the end of evening, Jesus Christ probably collapsed. The whole day, no eat, no rest, right? Because of what? Because of love. Right? Just like your parents, right? Some of your parents are two income. Father work and mother work, welcome have two income. Because their parents want you to live a district where there's a very good school, and usually the housing are very high price. So mother and father had to work, and when they work hard and come back home, still have to take care of you, right? How come they are so willing to sacrifice? Because of love. We need to ask God to move us so we can live a different life. Only God can predict us. The worldly people cannot predict us. Why? Because God's love motivates us. So in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, talk about the spiritual judge all things, but nobody can judge him. Right? What is spiritual? The spiritual is the one who has the heart of God. And the one who has the heart of God means the love of God fell upon the person. And the person called spiritual, nobody can judge him. Why? Because he behaved according to how God moved them. So, love and responsibility. When we are counting the love of God, the blessing of God in the end of the year, let us think about how to repay God's love next year. Not only counting the blessing only. We love because he loves us. Since he already loves us, so we have to love him in return. If we really live a life of love, what will be the outcome? Oh. Let's turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 22. First John, chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his name. Do you know? Whatever we ask, we receive from God. And that prayer is so powerful. And that kind of spiritual life has so many testimonies. And that kind of God is so vividly living in our life. How wonderful it will be, right? We are not talking about God theoretically. We are talking about God in a very practical sense, because I experience God every day. How can we do that? Reach to that kind of point of spirituality. He'll say, because we keep his commandment and do those things that pleasing him. And what are the things pleasing God? Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in his name of his son, Jesus Christ. We already done that. We believe Jesus Christ. But the next one. Love one another as he loved us, commanded. Oh. So the second, love one another. If we really love one another, then God abides in us. And our prayer will become very powerful, because God abides in us. Oh. How do we know? We love each other. Oh. How do we know? I love church. How do we know? One of the very common way to know it is what? You go to the shopping mall in the holiday season, right? You look at a lot of multitude there, you feel nothing, right? Because I'm not relative, I'm not a friend, right? But when you come to church, for example, yesterday, Saturday, we are supposed to have no service in San Diego because it seems everybody out of town, right? We're supposed to cancel the service, but it turned out 36 people attend. So we look at so many people who are so happy, so joyful. How come we are so joyful? Because of love. If it is not because of love, many people come, then it becomes more burden. You have to cook. You have to entertain this kind of people come from afar. But since the love of God come to us, we look at them, we feel very joyful. So if we come to the church, you see the brother and sister, you feel very joyful. That means we are filled by the love of God. If we come to the church, we see the brothers and sisters just like we see somebody in the shopping mall. That means we don't have the love of God. So we never feel happy. Just like if you go back home, you see your parents, you see your sibling, you no feeling. There's something wrong with you or something wrong with your family. If it is a normal family, you go back home, it's a very joyful moment. Why? Because that is a place there is love. Oh. So we have to practice love, love each other. How do you know? When we see each other because of love of God, we feel so joyful. Just like we see this year more than last year attended. Right? So the church cannot accommodate. So 2015, CYSC will move to Garden Grove. Why? Because too many people, right? So it's something good happened. So we are so happy. So many people come, right? Oh. If you see so many people come, if you're very happy, you are filled by the love of God, right? But if you see so many people, you feel nothing. That means we are not filled by the love of God yet. Oh, now we go next. First John. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed that love, the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. He who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So love is so important. If we pray for others, because the church announced we pray for somebody, so routinely I pray for somebody. I fulfill some kind of duty because the church just announced it, and I have no feeling. That means that kind of prayer is difficult to have any effect, because we just mechanically try to fulfill some kind of duty. But if we start to pray for other people, we really can feel that the difficulty, the pain of that person, the anxiety of that person. Because of this, our prayer becomes very fervent. We pray very hard, and that kind of prayer is very easy to be effective. Why? Because when we pray with love, God is love, and God abides in us. If God abides in us, our prayer will be more effective. So that's very important. Our prayer should not become outwardly become a formality mechanically. We have to pray with motivation, the love of God. And the next one is also very important. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so we are in this world. Verse 18. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. You know, God is a God of justice, and God is a God of love. If we believe in Jesus, always feel trembling, then is something wrong. Either our concept about God is not right, or our life is not sanctified. If we really live a life of love, what does that mean? If you love me, you keep my commandment, right? We observe all the commandments of God. Then before God, we have no fear. How come? Because if we keep commandment of God, that means we love God. If we keep commandment of God, we become a righteous person. When we become a righteous person, we have no fear. Why? Because when God uses his commandment, God cannot judge us, because we already keep all the commandment. But if we don't love God, we will not obey God's commandment. We do part of that, and most of that we don't do it. But when we see God, there will be a fear. How come there will be a fear? Because our love is not perfect. Because some of the teaching we did not do it. If God used that part of the teaching to judge us, we become unrighteous. We become sin. So if we are perfect in love, which means we keep all the commandment, in the day of judgment, we have no fear. We and God like a friend. We respect him, but we have no fear. We show our reverence to him, but we have no fear, because we are perfect in love. So love is so wonderful. If we always live a life of fear, our understanding about God probably is not very right, or our life probably still not righteous yet. If we are perfected in love by keeping his commandment, no fear, only peace. Okay, and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves a torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Okay. Now, we come back to the topic. In the book of 1 John, there are four sentences. These things I have written to you at least four times. And each time, there is a reason why John wrote the thing I have written to you. Now we come back to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 4. First John chapter 1, verse 4. This thing we write to you, that your joy may be full. Joy may be full. I always share a story, but let me share one more time. If you heard many times. One day I was in Liberia in the Sunday time, and there was a spiritual convocation. We had fasting prayer. So I purchased a loaf of bread, and I asked an African full-time worker to look over the bread. And after the Holy Communion over, then I asked a full-time worker, can you give me the bread because I'm very hungry. I want to eat the bread. Because in Africa, lunchtime is bread and banana. Break a banana or sometime or a peanut, that's all. And I found out half loaf of the bread was gone. Only a little bit remained. I was very angry in my heart. And then that full-time worker looked at me. He said, when you give me the bread, hand over me the bread to look over, I have no food for 2 days. So when I look into the bread, my mouth keep on watering. Keep on hungry. I'm so hungry, right? So I eat half of that. When he mentioned about that, I dare not to say one word. Why? Because he had been hungry for 2 days. But I learned a lesson. What is this? Never ask a person who is hungry to take care of the bread. That's the lesson I learned. Are you hungry? You're hungry. This bread cannot put in your hand. The reason I share the story is what? Nowadays, a lot of people inside their heart is empty. Outwardly, they have a lot of stuff. Inside there's empty. Spiritual hunger. When a person has spiritual hunger, do you know what? They try to use different means to fulfill their heart. Alright? So some people just start to smoke. Why? The life is bored. How come bored? Inside is empty. Some people like to start to use wine. How come you use wine? Because life is bored. How come bored? Because inside is empty. Alright? In one of the New York Times, it specified talk about Ivy League University. Very popular about weekend hookup. You know what's that, right? You are in the campus. Weekend hookup. They are so busy to invest for their future. So they have no time and energy to invest in a relationship. But sometimes they feel so boring and so empty, right? So what should they do? They just go to a particular place for weekend hookup. After finish, you go your way. I go my own way. Nobody know who is who. How come? It's emptiness inside. How come people use a drug? Because emptiness inside. So when there is emptiness inside, just like a fisherman, if you want to catch a fish, you choose a moment when the fish is very hungry, right? You don't have to use the bait. You just pull the hook. The fish will catch the by the hook, and you can catch a fish. So as a Christian, if we always feel boring, feel emptiness inside, it's very easy to be hooked by Satan through all different kind of means. So this is very important. Your joy may be full. If our joy is full, then Satan cannot tempt you, right? Just you go to the all you can eat. One dish, two dish, three dish, four dish, five dish, six dish, continue, right? Until you are full. When you are full, nothing can tempt you, right? Because you are full. Oh, right? You cannot accommodate anything anymore. The same thing. If God fell upon our heart, Satan cannot come into our heart. Why? Because you are full. Oh. So hungry inside, emptiness inside is a great danger in the last days. Oh. So how can we be, our joy can be full? That is the question. So verse 4, these things we write to you, your joy can be full. And my question is, what this thing referring to? What this thing referring to? You read, verse 3. That which we I have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And this thing we write to you. So this thing referring to what? Referring to what? Referring to fellowship. Oh, two kind of fellowship. One is to fellowship with God. The second is to fellowship with the brothers and sisters. So if we have good fellowship with God, if we have good fellowship with the brothers and sisters, our joy will be full, complete joy. Then Satan cannot tempt us. So fellowship is very important.